So hello, my name is Sarah Sexton, and I want to give a shout out to Unity with the Best and all the organizers for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be here. And today we're going to try to get through making a 3D isometric survival shooter. So I put a link in the chat room to download the assets in the Unity store already. If you have Unity open, then go to the asset store and look for the survival shooter, and you can be downloading those as we go. So here's the PowerPoint slides. I also provided a link to that in the chat room as well, to a slide share. So this is Intro to Unity 3D, building your first game. It's beginner friendly, but you do need to know some mathematical concepts here. And this is me. You can tweet at me at S-A-E-L-I-A, Salia. And my website is aka.ms/Sarah Sexton. And you can email me at my Microsoft address at sarahse@microsoft.com. And so there are three phases to this talk. And in phase one, we're going to be setting up the environment. So I'm going to go ahead and open up Unity and share that screen with you guys right now. New, and you can name it like survival shooter or nightmares. I'm going to call it nightmares. You want to keep it in 3D. You can store it wherever you want to store it. And just click on create project. So this is what the survival shooter assets look like. It's a pretty adorable little 3D game. And you play as a sort of a doll who's asleep. He's sleepwalking, and the toys in his room have come to life and started attacking him. And you have to defend yourself from the zombears and the zombies and the elephants. So we'll be learning how to make this game. All right. Okay, so let's get started with the brand new Unity project. Let me share that screen. Okay, so the first thing that we want to do when we get started, after we've sort of established opening Unity, you can go to the asset store, like I mentioned, and look for the survival shooter assets, because this is really just like, you need the building blocks to put them together. So go there and search for survival shooter, hit enter, and it should be the first thing that comes up, this cute little zombie bunny. And you just click on import. And when you import that, it'll pop right into Unity and it'll open up a new Unity project, and then it'll have all of the assets and environments already available. So when you open up like new scene or open scene or save scene as, you see that there's already some folders in your assets folder, and you want to click on the one named scenes. And this might be empty for you, but you want to save a new nightmares scene, nightmares one. And so that is what this empty place looks like. And let's customize our workspace. So make sure that you've set your layout to 2x3. This just makes everything easier when you're building. I'm sure you all have your favorite way of laying out your screen. So this is what the 2x3 layout looks like by default. And you want to move this slider down so that the big folders turn into little folders, and drag the project tab underneath the hierarchy tab. And then just fiddle around with the user interface until everything looks shipshape and you can see it all. So this is the setup that I like to have for this particular project. All right. And you can save your new scene by going File, Save Scene, or Save Scene As. And that's where you you name it Nightmares and save it where you want to save it. Yes. All right. So let's move on. In your assets, you want to locate the environment prefabs, which are in the prefabs folder. I hope everybody can see this. And if you're tweeting and just now tuning in, I'll try to go slow and do things twice so that nobody misses anything. So the prefabs is under the assets in the project. And in prefabs, you want to click on environment and drag that into your hierarchy. You see what just happened? So for anybody who just is now tuning in, you click on environment, you click it, hold it, and you drag it up into hierarchy. And that is where all of the toys come from in this little toys like bedroom. And you want to do the same thing for the lights. I'm going to click and drag lights. And now the lighting is all proper. And already we already have a functioning game environment, and we've just like clicked and dragged two things, and that's pretty much it. So verify that everything is positioned at 000. Everything's looking good. And so that's pretty much it. You can save your scene again as we move along. Now we're going to create something for the floor so that our character doesn't keep falling through the floor forever. So there's a couple of ways to do this. You can click on Game Object and hit 3D Object and implement a quad. Or you could also click on Create 3D Object Quad. There's a few different ways to do that. But you want to rename the quad Floor. F-L-O-O-R, enter. And we need to ensure that it's positioned at 000. That's good. And we're going to set the rotation X to 90 degrees. Okay, position is at 000. The rotation is now X is 90, Y is 0, and Z is 0. And set the scale to 100. Oops, 100 in X, 100 in Y, and 1 in Z. That looks a little odd. It looks kind of goofy. The way that you fix that is by removing the mesh renderer component. Just check the box next to mesh renderer, and that fixes that weird white stuff. So now you have a floor, and right up under layer, where it says default, change layer to the floor game object and use it the floor layer at the top of the inspector panel. All right. So now we've given ourselves a floor, and you can save that scene. Let's add some spooky background music while we're at it. Because what is a horror game without spooky background music? The way that you add music is click on Game Object again and hit Create Empty. For those who might have missed it, it's just the Game Object menu and click on Create Empty or Control-Shift-N. So let's rename this to background music. Enter. And you just click on Add Component, look for audio, and we want to turn this into an audio source, the little speaker icon here. When we imported all of our assets, we also got some sounds. So you want to circle select, which is the little bitty circle next to the audio clip. Click on that little circle right there, and that will bring up a new window. Yep, okay, good, you guys can see it. Okay, so when this window comes up, you click on the background music, and you can just double click on background music. You want to check the loop so that it keeps on looping in the background and doesn't just play once and go silent. And do yourself a favor and set the volume to 0.1, or else you will blast your earbuds out. So audio clip, circle select, choose background music, check the loop, and set volume to 0.1. Then you can save your scene. And that's the end of phase one. On to phase two. This is where we add our player character. All right, so let's locate the player model in models. Here's models under the characters folder. When we open the characters folder of the models, we see the elephant, the player, the zombear, and the zombunny. So we can click on the player and drag him into the scene or into the hierarchy panel, either one. And when we drag him into the hierarchy, he automatically pops into position 000 at the origin. And that's the good place where he should be. And we want to set this tag to say player. Tagging and layers are important and you should not underestimate them. So we set the tag to player in the dropdown in the inspector. And the next thing to do is animation. So we want to select the animation folder. And let's see where we can find that. Okay, sorry about that. So we want to find an animation folder and then click on create in the project panel, like right here. So create and then choose an animator controller, like so. And that'll give you a new animator controller, and you want to name it player AC or player animator controller. Like that. You drag and drop that onto the player. Open. So here's our animator window, and it just automatically docked itself by the scene window, so this is good. Weird. Okay, well, we want to expand the player model and the model's characters, so let's do that to see what else this player has on it. Models, characters, player. So the player has a lot of things on it already. And it already has death, idle, and move. And those are animations. So if we drag death, idle, and move, you can see how that goes into the animator window. And there are arrows going to and fro. So we want to right-click on idle and choose to set that as the default. Because we want our character to just look like he's idling when the game starts before he moves or shoots or dies. Now we want to create a parameter right up here in the corner next to layers. You can click on a parameter and click on the little bitty plus button right there. Create a bool. And you can name this new bool, and we want to turn that into is walking. So create a new bool, name it is walking. Enter. And we also want to create a trigger, and this trigger will be named death. Right. So now we want to right-click on idle and make a transition, and make the transition to move. Then you select the transition arrow that you just made and set the condition is walking to true by checking this checkbox right here. So once again, that you right-click on idle and make a transition to move, then you select the arrow that you just made and set the condition is walking to true. Now, right click move, make a transition back to idle. There's two arrows now, and set the condition for that second arrow is walking back to false. There we go. Does that make sense to everybody so far? This makes it so that when you move the arrow keys, your character doesn't just sort of glide over the ground. He turns into his moving animation and starts moving. And then we want to make it so that if our character dies from any state, whether they're walking, idle, or what have you, we want to make the transition to death. And it should be something called any state. Maybe if I can move things into the middle. There's any state, yes. Sorry for the confusion. But you want to right-click on any state, make a transition to death. So here are all the different little states. There we go. And I can drag with the middle mouse again. Very useful. So we've right-clicked any state and made a transition to death. So, and I hope that makes sense. Can I show again how I hooked up the animator controller? This question in the chat, can I show how I hooked up an animator controller? I went to my player character, and let me see again. In the completed assets folder, there's an animation folder. And when you click on the animations, you can see like all the other animator controllers. I just made a new one in here, and I named it Player AC. And when I click on it over in the inspector, there's a button that says open. And so I clicked open. And when I clicked open, it opened up the animator window, and it automatically docked it next to my scene window. And that is how I went back to models, characters, and I expanded expanded all of the assets attached to the player and all of its components. And I just dragged Death, Idle, and Move one by one into the animator window after it was open. Does that answer your question, or were you asking something a little different? Okay, yes, ma'am. All right, perfect, splendid. Okay, so we've got these three very simple animations set up. Now we want to do a little bit more detailed stuff. So let's set the condition for this any state to death to be the death trigger. That's why we made that. Let's click on that. And then we want to select the player game object and add a new component. This time we're adding a physics rigid body. And we want to set drag and angular drag to infinity. Okay. And now I'm going to expand the constraints. I'm going to freeze the Y position and freeze the X and Z rotations. And the reason I'm doing that is because I don't want my little guy to like rotate through the floor. I just want him to turn around like a normal person would turn around while they're walking around in circles on the floor. All right. So now let's select the player again. We want to add another component. We want to give him a capsule collider. So add component, go to physics. And if you can't find it right away, you can always type it in the search bar. But it's right here, a capsule collider, because he's vaguely in the shape of this capsule. That's sort of roughly his hitbox. So for this capsule collider, this is how the monsters know if they've hit him or not. So in the capsule collider, we're going to adjust the center of it so it kind of matches with his body a little bit more. So in X, we can set it to about 0.2. For Y, we can set that to 0.6. And for Z, we can leave that at 0. And we want to set the height. You know, he's a little taller than 1. He's about 1.2. So there we go. And we also want to add sound effects to the guy for if he shoots or if he gets hurt. So let's add another component, audio and audio source. Scroll down. This should start to feel familiar. You click on the little circle select and search for the title of Player Hurt. Player Hurt. Not quite player death yet, but if he takes a hit, this is the one you want. So you double click on player hurt. And we don't want him to make that sound as soon as the game starts, so you uncheck play on awake. Now's probably a good time to go ahead and save. So at this point, we're going to click on scripts, and we want to locate player movement in the scripts folder. In the interest of time, we can just use the completed assets, but I can still sort of describe what some of these scripts do. All right. So in my PowerPoint slides, you can see, and actually in the notes of the slides, I put the text in there for copy and pasting ease purposes. Raycasting is super interesting. So here's what's going on. There's a camera, and it sees your screen, and it kind of like sees through your screen into the environment and onto the floor quad, and it has a hit point. So that's why that there's the completed assets folder, so that we can jump ahead to the end result. It's very nice. The completed players movement is already all filled out. It's not just an empty script anymore. And we can drag and drop that one on there. The comments section is actually pretty useful. You know what? Let's do this. So here we see the public float speed, and that's the speed the player will move at, like I said. So these comments are really nice. There's a three-dimensional vector to store the direction of the player's movement. So is it moving like in toward the x-axis, the y-axis, or the z-axis? Animator anim is a reference to the animator component, like I mentioned before, and the rigid body is a reference to the player's rigid body. Int floor mask is a layer mask so that a ray can be cast just at game objects on the floor layer. That was that little visual I was showing you of the camera ray going through the floor. And the camera ray length is the length of the ray from the camera into the scene. Okay, so that was the end of phase two, really. We imported the player character assets. We learned about animator controllers. We made animations by creating booleans, triggers, transitions, setting conditions, and etc. We set rigid body physics to give our player gravity, set constraints, and set collision boundaries to make it collide with the environment, namely the floor. We added sound effects. We've added the player movement scripts. And so we've done a lot in just a half an hour. So phase three is camera setup. So back to the code, we want to select the main camera in the hierarchy and set the transform position. The position we want to set that to X is 1, Y is 15, and Z is negative 22. So that sort of gives us a larger view of the room. And we're going to set the rotation. So transform the rotation to X is 30, Y is 0, and Z is 0. In the camera component, we want to set the projection to orthographic mode. All right, so let's go to the camera component right here. So set the projection. Right now it's at perspective, but we can change the dropdown to orthographic. Now it zooms right in on our player, and as he moves around the toys on the floor, we will be able to see a little bit better, because perspective is cool, but you can kind of barely see him. So you want orthographic. And let's set the size value from 5 to 4.5. Here we go. Let's see how going from 5 down to 4.5 just zooms in on the player a little bit. Awesome. So let's go back to background. We want to set the background color to black. There we go. And now's a good time to save your scene. And go to the scripts folder and search for the camera. Okay, you'll have to go to completed assets in the interest of time. So there is a script called camera follow in the camera folder of the scripts in the completed assets. If you were doing this all by hand, when you went to scripts, you could create a new folder, name it camera, and then create a new script and save that new C# script as camera follow. But you want to drag and drop the camera follow script onto the main camera in the hierarchy, like so, and save your scene. And then you can always click on open in the top of the inspector or double-click the script's icon to open it for editing. So let's take a look at the comments here to sort of describe what's going on. You will actually want to remove, if you're doing this from scratch, remove the void start and the void update initialization code. So just get rid of that and add the public variables. The first public variable is public transform target. The position that the camera will be following. Then you want public float smoothing. That's the speed with which the camera will be following. Vector 3 offset is the initial offset from the target, and void start offset transform.position minus target.position. So that calculates the initial offset. For the fixed update, you create a position that the camera is aiming for based on the offset from the target with vector 3 target camera position target.position plus offset. And offset is what we set as a variable up here. And then you want to smoothly interpolate between the camera's current position and its target position for a smooth effect between the cameras. Over here. And after you've done that, you save your script and return into Unity and select the main camera and assignment player. Okay. We want to save our player as a prefab by dragging the player game object from the hierarchy into the prefabs folder in the project. So here is prefabs. Let me make sure that I'm out of the completed assets. Okay, here's prefabs. So if I click and drag the player into prefabs, he becomes a prefab himself. Then you want to save the game. We need to set the main camera assigned to the player as the target. Target right here says none. Let's see what happens if I move the player right here where it says none. And now let's test it. Aha! And now the camera is following the player. Wonderful. All of the tutorials are available online, and making the enemies come out and adding in death sequences will take a little bit longer than we have here today. But that is the end of phase 3 for my presentation. We learned the difference between orthographic and perspective cameras. We made sure that the camera follows script, ensured that the camera was following our player character. We talked about smoothing the camera and following the target, and having it be a fixed update that updates every tick. That is everything I have for you guys today, and we can move the questions along to the question and answer section, or you can make an appointment with me, or you can send me an email. So once again, my email is sarahse@microsoft.com. You can tweet at me at Salia. So thank you so much. I really appreciate everybody's time. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Yes, this is the last talk of the event, and thank you so much. All right, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording now. But thank you, guys, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.